welcome to the radio. This is Open Up and Bleed, K Chung Radio, Open Up and Bleed Radio Show. And as usual, we have some very special guests. Now, we always make it, we always make sure that no one on the show is plugging anything, that the people themselves are special, but that there's nothing special going on in their lives. And that's why today is such a such an amazing exception to that, because we have here Charisse. What's your last name?
Gray.
Introduce yourself.
My name's Charisse Gray.
Talk into the mic, because that helps with
okay.
people here.
My name is Charisse Gray, and today is a sort of special day for me.
Because you got that lobotomy that all the doctors have recommending, right?
Yeah, Just recently healing.
It's your B-Day, right?
Yeah, it is.
Happy B-Day. Mm-hmm. And I guess... Is it weird? I guess it's weird that your friend Diane is over there. Diane, do you want to, like,
come is she going to... Yeah, yeah, come over. I guess she can be a part of this, too.
I think she should. I think you should just... You really got to sit on the same level as her.
If I have to. She'll have more to say anyways.
Yeah, so today's my birthday. My insurance ran out yesterday.
Your insurance ran out yesterday. A tragedy of the Obamacare era.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, so should Diane introduce herself? Diane, say who you are. We're really into the mic.
Hi, I'm Diane Nguyen.
Okay, and Nguyen, and it's spelled like that way Nguyen. Where all the white people get confused.
Yeah, it's. But I always say, I always say it's Nguyen, like you win something.
It's Nguyen, like you win something, except for most of white American people, they win something with a W-I-N. They never win anything with an N-G-U-Y-E-N. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is your last name actually Gray?
My last name is actually Gray.
Where does that come from?
It's Scottish.
Scottish?
Actually.
Do you have Scotch in
you? Yeah. My father's mainly Scottish.
How often do you go to a place and people are like, either of you guys are like, so where are you from? Like, does that happen a lot?
All the time.
Like, how many, like every day, right?
Every day, actually. I work in a restaurant, so
you work in a restaurant. What's the name of the restaurant you work at?
It's called Night Market Song.
Oh, I like that place.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, can you get me a discount?
I can, but you should come in anyways.
You cannot.
I cannot.
Well, I would come in anyway, but I might not come in as much as I would if you could get me a discount. do you ever, you eat there for free, though?
I do eat there for free.
Do you just eat leftovers?
No, I get to pick what I want within a certain range, you know.
But not the sticky rice.
No, not pork.
Diane,
shoulder.
if you're gonna talk, even if it's just conversational, with Charisse's birthday, it is. Let's acknowledge that again and again throughout the show. Just talking to the mic. So, what were you saying about the sticky rice?
Oh, there are just limitations on what we can eat based on the value of what we're eating.
Right.
But that's normal, I think.
Who do you think has a higher value? Of you, both of you guys can answer this, but maybe I usually feel fucked up on my birthday, so this is for you. Who do you think has a higher value of you as a person, you or other people?
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the restaurant thinks you should only be able to eat meals up to $15, but you might think that you deserve a $25 entree.
Mm, yeah, for sure.
It's, like, very relative, you know, based on who I'm interacting with. I feel like there's, like, a hierarchy of people, like, above and below me in some way.
But I also, I mean, I
who's above you guys?
Ooh. Well, it depends.
It's, like, kind of a secret, sort of.
That's a secret, who's above you guys.
I'm definitely skeptical of anyone who meets me and immediately thinks I'm cool, because I probably can't ultimately be close to them.
Right, you, like, disrespect them. You're like, this person is so lame. If they think I'm cool, but you are cool-ish. I mean, right?
You know when you meet someone and you sense they're sort of looking up to you?
They're like immediate fanboys.
Yeah.
But that's like actually the people that I fall in love with the most, the ones that I like admire. I like, if I meet someone and I sense that I feel inferior to them and I admire them, like that is the person I fall in love with. But potentially I have a lot of naturally negative judgmental qualities, so that might not come through, you know, even though like deep down inside I'm like, ah. Person's so much better than me. I need to impress them. Mm. But also it does come through because like then they're like, please leave. Like you're waiting outside my porch for 5 hours. Why are you here? I got you this fruit bag. Like this is my family's house. Like you shouldn't be waiting here.
This is a real situation.
This is like when I first moved to LA. I was like obsessed with this girl.
Oh.
And yeah, I went to her.
What kind of fruit bag did you get her?
You know, like one of those like $5 fruit bags.
Like at the park.
Yeah. Where they, you know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't.
Wow, you must be also new to LA, huh?
Yeah. I am.
Well, you know, a lot of people are moving here, so you're really on trend.
Yeah.
Charisse. and I am. You're both really on trend with moving here. Right when the New York Times wants you to. You're going to take, taking the jacket off?
Yeah, it's pretty hot in here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, usually most other hosts, they turn the fans on, but not me. So people, usually guys probably, right, walk up to you guys and they're like, where are you from?
Yeah.
Yeah, actually I was at Food Lab in WeHo
Food Lab.
The other week, and this guy came up to me and he just said, "Annyeonghaseyo," and I was like, what? And then he said, Chinese? And I was like, no. And he's like, oh. And like, I don't know, just walked away.
So where are you from?
I'm Vietnamese.
Right.
Yeah. So, but like, every Asian thinks I'm their Asian.
Right. Oh, it was a Chinese guy.
No, it was a white guy.
Oh, okay. That's offensive.
Yeah, it was very offensive.
I like to speak Russian, and sometimes I'll be like talking to like an old fat man, and I hear his accent, and I'll say something in Russian, and they're like, what do you fucking say? I'm Armenian. They're like, I'm Persian, you fucking asshole. And I'm like, oh, I'm just sorry. I thought we could bond. I thought you'd give me a discount or something. I'm always looking for discount.
Yeah.
But what was your last memorable experience like that, Sharice?
Yesterday while I was working.
Yeah.
Someone stopped me in the middle of me being very busy at work, and they're like, so you're half Thai, right? And I was like, actually, I'm not. I'm Filipino. And then I thought, I could tell that he thought it would be an interesting conversation to have, like, that I was something, and I just walked away.
He was by himself?
No, he was with a huge group of guys he probably thought I would be interested in speaking to.
Right, and you're like, I'm trying to make tips here.
Yeah,
like, I'm not trying to be like genealogy.com for me via you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I was talking to a friend yesterday, and she's an artist, and someone wanted to interview her, and he was like, I think we have a great interview. Like, I bet like I could tell you some things about your art, like, you know, just like outside perspective. And then she was like, there is nothing that you could tell me about my art that I don't know. And I just thought it was, like, good, you know. Like, some critics saying, like, basically I can mansplain.
Yeah.
You know,
did he just, like, walk in?
It was a male critic?
It was a male critic.
Of course it was.
And he was familiar with her
work. Aren't men slime, guys? you laugh, but all laughter is based in acknowledgement of truth or discomfort.
They certainly can be.
All men can be.
You know, actually, I got into
women can be too, I would say.
I got into a conversation recently with a good friend where I was explaining how I had the feeling that I wanted to reprimand someone that I had once been close with and be like, hey, just so you know, you're a misogynist and I don't know, you don't realize it, but you are. And they were
like, this is someone you want to remain friends with or no?
I just sort of wanted to be straight up with them and I never had.
Yeah.
And
why is he a misogynist? Like, what did he do? Like, you guys are, like, watching a movie and he, like, fingers you.
No.
Okay, because that's called rapist, right?
No.
Not that they're off fully, but let me ask you guys a question. What do you think is worse, alleged rapist or confirmed racist?
No.
Think
you
about
mean
that.
Worse for the person being labeled?
Yeah, like, what
thing?
Would you think worse of someone who, like, was an alleged rapist? Like, you heard a story.
Oh, that would hurt their career way more.
I don't
like,
know
if they
career,
were.
Like, you heard, like, about someone you know, like, yeah, like, I heard that guy, like, kind of, like, slept with this girl, and then, like, she wasn't feeling it, and he was like, come on, like, you need a place to sleep. And, but, like, I don't know. Like, the girl's
I think
kinda,
at this point in our
like,
culture,
I heard
that's
that guy.
Worse.
That guy called me an N-word.
Well, you know what? That seems.
I think right now, that's worse to be an alleged rapist. For sure.
You think right now it's worse to be an alleged rapist than a confirmed 100% racist?
Yeah, because then we can dismiss like the confirmed racist as like some kind
of
like socioeconomic,
right.
Like, you know,
way.
They're just like a hillbilly
just, like,
or something.
Out of the way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas the rapist, the alleged, but you know, alleged. When someone's an alleged rapist, you guys think that person is like a 50-50 or probably like 80-20?
80-20.
Right.
I mean, not even wanting to, but that's like
the
immediate
90-10. Yeah.
What if it was the other way around? Like, what if I, well, I have had an experience where, like, basically I was, like, forced into having sex against my will, you know?
Where you have?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. What, like, then do you think it's like, huh, Eugene, like, how's that possible? Like, probably that girl didn't really.
Well, really?
Probably he wanted it.
It's
same? 90-10?
No, because I it depends on the situation.
Right.
I remember I heard of a guy saying that this 17-year-old girl, a man, that she drug date raped him, and it's like that's just
I know
you know who I'm talking about.
Oh, who was it?
Like, no names will be revealed,
okay.
But for
open
sure,
Open Up and Bleed—that is the name of the show. But it's fine. We don't need to get into Open Up and commit libel.
Yeah. But then it quickly became like you kind of know who this person is. You start making a lot of like subjective like judgments based on who it is.
Yeah. What was the biggest fight you guys ever got into?
Oh my gosh. It was weird.
Have you guys been there for each other during troubling times?
Yeah,
definitely. Mm-hmm.
And we've been in like probably some of the most intense fights.
Oh, yeah. Let's hear about an intense fight.
I don't know if we've been in the most intense fights, but they're not
violent at all because it's like we're 100% there with each other.
Yeah. Then there's been a big break. There have been like a long emails.
I feel like the most visually theatric was we were living together. One summer, like literally sharing a bed, and I was working like a shitty restaurant job in Echo Park, and she was sort of trying to figure out what she wanted to do.
You guys were visiting LA or something?
This is when Therese stayed with me. And I was really into juicing. I got this like, cold press. So I got this like $400 juicer at the beginning of the summer, and I'd wake up at 7 a.m. and like spend an hour and a half like cutting up vegetables and juicing them.
That sounds ridiculous to you now, right?
Yeah, it sounds ridiculous
in this moment.
But like, yeah, it was nourishing then.
And I would scrub the celery with a toothbrush.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, there's a lot of fiber, you know, that gets stuck.
I would do.
Well, yeah, I would be like, hey,
you're not paying the rent, Charisse. You better wake the fuck up and scrub this celery.
It was kind of like that. Yeah, because it would get like all in the little like parts.
Do you think if you lived like in, Russia like 150 years ago, you would like with no hesitation have like a servants or serfs, they call them, basically slaves?
I've actually like come back to that. You know, I've tried to take care of myself. I've returned back to that thought that like I don't need to learn how to take care of myself.
You will eventually have slaves.
Did you get
not outsource? Slaves, but like I would like to outsource like dishes and like kind of menial tasks.
TaskRabbit? Can you like TaskRabbit someone to come and watch this?
Well, not yet. I can't do that yet because I can't afford to yet. But in the future.
But I mean, we've both at certain points in our lives, I think, had periods where our family had no money, and then periods where our family could afford outside help. And knowing that difference
in America,
I had, you know, outside help or maids in the Philippines, but then when we moved here, like super low income, I ate free lunch.
Right. Yeah. Free lunch program.
Free lunch program.
That must be a shocking change.
Yeah. We had eight maids and then I went to free lunch.
Eight maids to free lunch. That's like the opposite of like homeless to Harvard, but not even in any sort of accomplishment type of way. Yeah. It's the opposite of just talking about the great economic disparity around the world. Sean, how are we doing? We have a third party here that we're not going to acknowledge on camera, but just so all the listeners at home know, this is all being filmed because we're submitting it to the Viennale. That's the Vienna Art and Film Festival. And Sean knows all the programmers, so it's definitely getting in, no matter the quality. And we probably won't even edit any of it. I'll just upload the raw footage to the Viennale. And does that sound good, Sean?
Yes.
Okay. The servant thing. For my family, it was, like, so different because... we came from the Soviet Union where literally, like, you had to wait in line to get bread, like the simplest of staple goods. And then when we came to America, one of the first places we went to was Sizzler, which is a buffet, a low-quality American food buffet. And we were like an unlimited? You pay once, and then the food just keeps on coming, and, like, no one's, like, telling you, stop. You've eaten too much. Yeah. Like, there's more. There's an endless amount. That seemed like heaven to my family.
Yeah. Buffets were very special to my, like, early...
Buffets.
And especially when my grandmother would come and visit, there was, like, nothing more special than going to the country-style buffet.
Yeah, she was probably flipping on the country-style buffet.
But if we went to the mall, she would pack sandwiches, so because we couldn't afford to get food.
Yeah, but you have to splurge on a good buffet for Granny once in a while.
Yeah, for sure.
Anyone, you keep in touch with any of those hired help?
No, but I would like love to know what they're up to. I think my mom does.
Have you ever done a diligent Facebook search for them?
I haven't. I don't know their last names, which like probably says something too about where my mind was at.
You were just a kid.
I had like 10 different nannies at least, and they were all Vietnamese, and they were all imported from the countryside somewhere. And in Vietnam, like what people do is they label their kids based on numbers. So we'd have like Mrs. 8, Mrs. 7, and we literally like hit all the numbers with the nannies.
You were a number.
No, not me. Just the
help.
And
just
when
the
your
nannies.
Mother, as like a city woman, would like shame them for the food, the country food.
Well, they each had like a certain thing, but there was this one woman, and she described like a really crazy dish, which was
what was it?
It's really disgusting.
Well, let's hear it. Okay. All international foods.
Yeah, so she was from this province, right, that where her accent was so strong you could barely understand what she was saying. But
Vietnamese person.
Yeah, Vietnamese person.
What was her ethnicity? She was just rural.
Yeah, she was just very rural.
Why do you say it like that?
Well, I don't know. Like, well, I don't mean to imply that she wasn't Vietnamese.
No, she was Vietnamese, but you know, just like, but even within Vietnamese people, it was kind of like, who is she? Where does she come from?
I'm just trying to imagine what the equivalent of that would be, like in America, and there is no equivalent. It's like someone with the deepest Southern or like Staten Island drawl that like you literally can't understand them.
Yeah, but even worse because there's less depiction of people like that in the media, you know?
Yeah.
But she said that like the prize dish of the village was a mommy cow gave birth to a baby cow. It was either the mom's first poop or the baby's first poop that was like put onto lettuce and then fed, like, you know, and then that was like the delicacy because it's like so pure, the whatever's in the poop. Yeah.
The first poop. Yeah. After childbirth, after being born,
it has to be the baby cow.
Yeah, maybe it's the baby. Yeah,
baby cow.
But my parents, like, basically, like, I felt like they were so against that idea. They fired her eventually. And they always, I know it's sad, but they would always refer to her as, like, you know, that one.
Do you ever, though, weirdly, you know, because sometimes when I was a kid, I hated cauliflower. Now I'm really into it.
Oh, yeah.
Do you sometimes crave the poop of a newly born cow?
She never fed it to me. But I don't know. I never tried it.
That's what I'm saying.
But it honestly doesn't sound like that bad. Like,
oh, come on. Don't just be brave for the radio show. Don't just be adventurous for the radio.
I remember my mother reprimanding one of our maids for how she prepared the tang. You guys know what tang is?
Yeah.
They drink that here.
It's like powdered orange juice.
Yeah. So they love that in the Philippines. Mm-hmm. And she would mix it in this big vat with her arm like this. Uh-huh. And then she would scoop it up.
To taste it.
And it kind of fall back.
Right.
And my brother saw her doing it. And they're like, Mom, can you talk to her about
the
that?
The things that you catch.
You,
like,
you guys basically hate your moms, though, right?
No.
Or you love your moms?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I love my mom, but like, I have come to, you know,
who do
I used
love more, Charisse or mom?
Ooh,
I don't know.
Charisse, who do you love more, Diana or mom?
I mean, in terms of like an independent love, like a spiritual love, I probably
love
Charisse
more. I
love
where I feel understood, Diana.
Yeah, we're kind of like each other's moms in different ways, or maybe
a complicated, dads. Like fucked up familial bond, like my mother, because she birthed me.
Yeah.
Right. But Diane didn't give birth to you, and then like all the people in the village didn't eat your first food.
I wish she did.
Aw, you wish she did. That's nice.
Yeah.
So wait, back to your guys' huge fight when you lived together.
Yeah.
What was that about?
Well, that was just kind of like practical in this way. Yeah. It would make sense why we fought. It wasn't like spectacular.
She found me writing about her in my journal, and I just left open.
Oh,
like,
my God. Yeah. Wow. So you must have wanted her to read it.
No, I didn't. I didn't expect her to. But it culminated in us fighting at that little cafe, and